Let's go. I'm gonna let it run for a minute.
What I've been watching.
Oh man, what a huge W for your Boston Bruins last night in Game 4 in enemy territory in Columbus. What's up, guys? It's Talking BS. It's Corrado. We got a huge recap show for you of Bruins Blue Jackets Game 4. Before we get into it, I really want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for following all my pages. Those of you who've engaged with me, appreciate it. Keep it coming. Tell your friends. Tell your foes. Tell everybody. Tell everybody about it. Everybody who fucks with Boston sports. Really appreciate it. So last night was pretty huge. Very huge. Gutsy win. Gritty win. An obvious must win for the Bruins. Pre-game, I was thinking, how's this first 5 minutes going to look? Who's going to be controlling the play? Obviously, the Bruins did. The Bruins came right out. Pastrnak left in. Good job on Cassidy, sort of. I mean, he got the goal. He got that one-timer goal from McAvoy. So that was huge. Was it from McAvoy? It wasn't from McAvoy. It was from Marchand. I'm an idiot. So, yeah. Yeah, Pasta gets off the schneid, but then plays the way he played in the first three games. I mean, he's turning the puck over. That fucking, on the power play when he went to go shoot, and the puck's 3 feet to his right, didn't get that. He was just a confused mess the rest of the game. After he got his goal, that 5-on-5 goal that he scored, that was the first 5-on-5 goal for the first line since Game 4 against the Leafs. Are you fucking kidding me? But you know what? He got it. Marchand didn't play great last night. Two penalties. The other guys on the first line, Pasta with a goal. And then gone. Gone with the wind. Bergie, great bounce back. Great answer. Great, great answer by Bergie. He was locked in all night. Speaking of locked in, we're 3.5 minutes into this, and I haven't brought up Tuukka Rask, and I should be fucking thrown in jail. I should be thrown in jail for not just screaming Tuukka Rask for 20 to 30 minutes on this. And just releasing it, because he's the, we can talk about a lot, he's the beginning and the end of the story for Game 4 for the Bruins. He was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. 39 saves, 971 save percentage, ridiculous. Or 981, I'm sorry, whatever. He saved every puck except the illegal goal. They had to, that's how good Rask was last night. They had to score an illegal goal. They had to score an illegal goal to get one by him. NBC did a great job explaining it, actually, because I was confused as all hell too. Very short order, Milbury came on. He talked with the people in Toronto, and apparently the rule is if it hits the netting, and the guy who gets it initially off the netting, if that guy scores, they can review it. But if that guy gets it, passes it, like I think it was Atkinson who had it, passes it to Panarin, that's a good goal. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Like, why you can't go back in time? Like, the NHL doesn't have a rule where you can go back in time and take away goal. Oh, no, oh, well, they do? Hold on, one sec. I'm getting something. Hold on. Oh, they do have a rule like that. Oh, okay, the offsides. So if you're offsides by like a CH and you have the puck in the zone for like a minute and multiple guys touch it and you score, the other team can review it. But God forbid it hits the netting. If the netting wasn't there, if this game was played 50 years ago, that puck just goes directly into the stands, and we're not even talking, we're not even having a discussion about it. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good. Good job, Gary Bettman. That'll be a tuck rule next year. That'll absolutely be a rule that's scrapped and rewritten, to be able to be reviewed, because that was atrocious. I don't think the refs had a bad game last night. There were a lot of penalties. I think they were 9 or 8. I know they had 6 and we had 1, 2, 3. Yes, there were 4. Was it 6 and 4? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we had 4. That was 10 penalties last night. 10 penalties. As far as the Blue Jackets ones, 5 of their 6 were legit. I'm sorry. I know it's the playoffs. I know, let the boys play. Boys will be boys, playoff hockey. 5 of those 6 penalties were penalties. The only one, and the reason why I'm not really that mad at the refs is because literally 10 seconds after, I don't even think it was 10 seconds, it was off the opening, it was off the face-off after Panarin's goal, they just blew the whistle and called a hook. It was really bad. There was nothing there. It was a tie-up, and they called a hook. So, yeah, but the rest of them, all the other 5, all legit. You know what wasn't legit last night? The power play. Despite having two goals, I know, I watched the game too. I mean, the odd man rushes. You gave up 5 odd man rushes, including a penalty shot to Jenner. Jenner had 4 odd man rushes when he was killing a penalty. 4. Foligno had the other one. Tuukka stopped them all. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. He was insane. Rask was absolutely out of his tits last night. He played great. He played so great. And guys who didn't play great were the guys that I pumped up for Columbus a couple days ago. They no-showed. I didn't hear Seth Jones' name till the second period. I mean, it was bad. He was I don't even know if he was bad. He just wasn't noticeable. The first 3 games he was arguably the best skater on the ice for both teams. And then I'm sitting there, I'm watching. I don't have any notes on him my very last note of the second period was a shot he had on Rask. That was the first time I remember hearing his name. And I don't know I didn't really hear it much after that either. The second period was a lot like it. The second period, they had a little bit of the momentum, but again, Rask made so many huge saves, there. A guy that did play well, the only guy that I think played well for Columbus was Boone Jenner. 5 shots on net, 4 on the 4 on the PK alone. Actually, he might have even had more than that. I think he might have had 6 or 7, actually. I just looked it up on Hockey Reference. Yeah, he had 6. But yeah, I mean, 4 on the penalty kill. Pretty bad. Pretty bad for the Bruins. Bruins outshot them 46-40. That was great. Finally, some traffic in front. Finally. The Backa substitution comes in huge, just like I said it would. Change the entire tenor of the game. Change the entire way that the entire mindset just felt like everybody had a little bit of, they just wanted it more. They wanted it more than the other 3 games. And the effort was there. Effort was there all night. All night. The skill wasn't a lot of some of the time, especially with Pastrnak, but it was there last night. You could tell. You absolutely could tell. I think, let's see, so Jenner was Columbus's best player. I think it was McAvoy again for us, honestly. I know Bergeron had the 2 goals. He played great. He's great in the faceoffs. Better on the power play faceoffs, finally winning it, keeping it in. His second goal he scored was he finally won one, kept it in, kept the pressure up. what did I say the other day? It's just a different type of momentum if you can win that, if you can win that faceoff and keep it down there and keep that pressure the full 2 minutes and not give them any hope. And that's what Bergeron did last night. But McAvoy was jumping up in everything, 5-on-5 power play. There was times in the second and in the third period when they were struggling. They were struggling to stop the Blue Jackets from tilting the ice, and he was skating it right in. He would take it and do what Jones did basically the other night, and take it right from his zone and just use his speed, get through the neutral zone, stick handle, just get it in. They were struggling with that, and the Bruins were struggling. There we go. Just like I'm struggling to talk right now. The Bruins were struggling to get it into the zone, and he helped. He helped change the momentum a little bit and tilt the ice back towards the Bruins side, just for, even if it was just for a little bit. And I think that was really important. I think that was especially before the stud Columbus's own Sean Corrali scores a huge, an absolutely huge third period goal. God bless Bruce Cassidy. He comes up, he rewards the kid Corrali for playing great all playoffs, puts him up on the second line with Krejci and Backes. Boom. Get it in deep, cycle, bad shot, Bobrovsky fucks up, can't paddle it away, buries it right in front of the net. Huge play. He's been fantastic. Corrali's been absolutely fantastic for these Bruins. Just great. Another underrated thing that happened in that third period that will probably go overlooked. Minute in, literally 1 minute in, they give up a breakaway. Carlo has to literally lay out, literally dive at Dubois. I thought it was going to be a penalty shot. I thought he was going to trip him. And he gets a stick around and knocks it off Dubois' stick, lets his other defenseman come back and clean it up. That was huge. That would have been a big ask for Rask to stop yet another odd man rush, another breakaway even. Huge play. And he played great last night too. He played great. Chara still looks old. Chara looks old still. I'm worried about him. I'm worried about him, especially next year if we make it back to the playoffs. I mean, look at me talking about the playoffs next year. Still in the middle of a cup run right now. But I'm just saying, eyeballs. Use your eyeballs. He's slow. He's plodding. He's not even slow. He's just old. He's just big and old. It's tough for big old guys to get around. You ever see Andre the Giant after he was done wrestling? Not great. Definitely not great. The knees are the first thing to go. The knees are the first thing to go. To go on an old, on a big old guy. So yeah, I saw a lot last night online that people hated watching that game, that they were like tearing their hair. I'm like, did you watch the previous two games? I wanted to stab my eyes out with toothpicks at those other two games. I was losing it. You know why? We were winning, and it was back and forth, and there was rushes, and there were scrums, and it was fucking playoff hockey, guys. If you know, these were hockey people too, Bruins fans who watching the game. Like, I can't stand to watch this game. Like, what do you mean? There's great chances. Rask is playing out of his mind. I mean, again, back and forth. What are we doing? It's playoff hockey. Figure it out. Figure it the fuck out, guys. Come on. It was a great game. It was a great game to watch. Very entertaining. But yeah. So we're a third of the way to my prediction. I said the Bruins are going to win three straight. And I wasn't confident in that when I said it Wednesday. And you guys know, because you heard how I said it. My chest is swollen today. It's swollen out. I think they win the next two. think they win the next two and play Carolina next series. Boston sweep's on, guys. It's on. It's definitely on. Speaking of the Boston sweep, it can only be on if the Celtics win, obviously. Need all four. It's not a Boston sweep if it's not all four. You guys know how it works. So yeah, the Celtics play tonight. I'll give you just a quick, I'm just gonna do a quick little Celtics preview with you. It's gonna be pretty obvious because they played so bad the last game. Tatum and Kyrie need to show up. They're at home. I think they will. You can't have your two best scorers have a combined 14 points on the road and expect to win that game. Kyrie and Tatum were minus 18 and minus 19, respectively, last game. Not good. Not good when your team's getting just absolutely obliterated while you're on the court, being a net negative. It's not great. Celtics are favored. They're favored tonight by two. Which is a little sketchy, but it's not too bad. Because I do like the Celtics to win. If you like the Celtics to win, you almost have to take it. But yeah, obviously it's 2 points. What do you think you're gonna win by one? Anyways, so yeah, I think just like how the NBA works, I think the role players will play better because that's just the way it is. I think Rozier has a good game. I want to see Baines actually try and body Giannis, even though that's again, tough ask. It's a tough one. He's the MVP. Call him the Greek freak. The refs let him take 5-6 euro steps every time he gets past the 3-point line, so it's very difficult to defend. I understand it, but they did it in game one. I think Brad gets on his chalkboard, and I think he finds a way to stifle Milwaukee tonight. That being said, the only thing that I would keep an eye on is if Milwaukee does make a run or get out ahead at any point, to see how Brad uses his timeouts. He needs to use his timeouts better. He's a great coach. He's a wizard with the whiteboard. He's brilliant with plays. But I feel like his guys are looking at the bench, on a 10-2 run or, they're on 11-4 run and they're down and they're just looking and it's like, hey man, can we get a blow? Like, and he just lets them kind of figure it out, and that can be dangerous, and that's how you can get down, 30 points like they were the other night. I think he needs to do a better job at using his time. He needs to do? You know who Brad Stevens is? He's basketball Andy Reid. That's what he is. He's skinny basketball Andy Reid. Period. Just doesn't have a clue about the clock, doesn't have a clue about momentum or time. He's just locked in on his plays, locked in on the play sheet, locked in on the whiteboard. That's what it is. So I do like the Celtics to win tonight. I think they're going to come. I think the crowd is going to come out wild. I think they're going to be gassed up. It's Friday night in Boston. People are going to be lubricated, I guess you could say. They're going to be greased up, ready to go down on Causeway Street, and I think it's going to be wild in there. And I think Kyrie has a great game. I think Al has a great game, and I think the Celtics win tonight. So that's it. That's 20 minutes about. Really appreciate you guys listening to me ramble. It's been fun, This is it's new, but it's fun. I'm having a good time. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you guys are getting at least a little bit of insight from what I'm saying. And I really appreciate the follows and the listens and the clicks. It's really great. Tell your friends. tell your foes even. Tell everybody. Really appreciate it. I'm going to try not to ramble for 30 and 40 minutes at a time. I'm going to try and keep it to 15 to 20. Unless the mood strikes me, calls for it, whatever. But yeah, it's probably gonna be closer to this. So I keep saying that, and then next episode will be 55 minutes, whatever. All right, thanks again. The Twitter before I go is at TalkinBS1, and the Instagram is at _TalkinBS. All right, go C's, go B's. Later.